Let's cover a few news items and what is happening. Then we'll get into some difficult scriptures. And I'm going to expand upon that, which I did on right standing with God. But first I want to cover something here concerning the economy. Now, we are seeing a really rapid escalation of foreign money coming into America to rescue the economy, which means that the strangers are going to own us. And it's going to be mostly the Arabs and the Chinese. Now, I saw a report last night on the news that the reason that the Indian economy is growing so much is because they're doing a lot of trade with China. They have a lot of trade that they're doing themselves, but the major projects that they have for the country are financed out of the Gulf states. So what we are seeing Ishmael and Edom now beginning to take the yoke off that was prophesied of back here in Genesis 27. So let's go back there. They're taking the yoke of servitude to Jacob off. Now, it's not done by rebellion. It is done by purchase and because of our sins. Now, after Jacob took the blessing away from Esau by deception, although it was promised to him, and it also shows what sort of things we get ourselves into when we want to help God's promises along with our efforts in ways that aren't really right. See, if Jacob would have remained faithful and not connived things, he would have received it because it was prophesied that he would receive it. But, so there would be tension between the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Jacob down through history. That's how it came out the way that it did. So Esau was told by Jacob, let's begin here after in verse 35, after Esau came in after the fact with his meal already cooked. Jacob already had the blessing, and this was a formal blessing that could not be taken back. And it was part of the covenant that was given to Abraham. And so here, Isaac is passing it on to Jacob. And so, after Esau asked for a blessing, after he heard that his father had blessed Jacob in his stead, verse 35, Isaac told him, he said, your brother came with subtlety and has taken away your blessing. Now, you will notice that in all the descendants of Israel, even going back to Abraham, there is a deceitful trait. See, even Abraham had to connive with Sarah and say, you say you're my sister, when she was a cousin so many things removed. And he got caught with it. And even Abimelech said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Because I was ready to sin against her and put her in my harem. So this follows down with Isaac. Isaac did the same thing as his father. He probably said, well, my father did this, so I can probably do this, when he wanted to keep Rebekah from the same thing with another Abimelech. So Jacob had the same trait. He was a conniver. He was subtle. He was deceitful. And so, verse 35, your brother took it by subtlety and has taken away your blessing. So that's quite a thing. Now, we also know later that Jacob's wife, Rebekah, she had a deceitful streak in her too, didn't she? What did she do? She took the house gods of her father Laban and took them with her. And remember when Laban came after Jacob took his sons and daughters and wives and daughter, and because he only had one daughter, and left, Laban came after him and he said, who took my household gods? Well, what did Rebekah do? She sat on a saddle with the household gods underneath. And her father came in and she said, oh, father, I'm in the way of a woman. So he would not ask her to stand up. So he never found them, you see. So, we see the same thing today when we start talking about some of the news and things that happens. Now, this doesn't mean that Esau doesn't have a deceitful streak, or Ishmael does not have a deceitful streak. They do. All human beings have a deceitful streak. But I think it's interesting how that it always affects the children because of what the parents do. Now, we'll get into this in just a little bit concerning some of the economic things that are taking place. So Isaac said, is he not rightly named Jacob, which is supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. No, this is Esau saying. Is he not rightly named Jacob or supplanter? For he supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Not true. Esau sold it. And behold, now he's taken away my blessing. True. But he wouldn't get the blessing because he lost the birthright. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him your lord, and all your brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine now have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you not one but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, your dwelling shall be, and it should read, far from the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven above. And by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass, when you have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. Now we're seeing that happen right now. A complete reversal of the role of Esau, Ishmael, and Jacob. Complete reversal. Add that into the equation, the Chinese. So this is why all of the conniving that is being done. Now, let's talk about human nature here for just a minute, because it operates on micro levels, which is on an individual level, and on macro levels. What is the first thing a liar does when he's caught? He justifies it and continues to lie and live in deceit. Now, the other day, I heard a man explain about Gamblers Anonymous. And I, listening to what he said, I drew a parallel with our government. Now, Gamblers Anonymous, they get addicted to gambling and taking chances. And so they end up getting more and more and more and more credit cards, getting loans, borrowing against their houses, and hopes that they will hit the jackpot. And I thought, is that not like our government? They keep going in debt, in debt, in debt, in debt, in debt, hoping that they will make enough money to come out of it, but they just keep sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into it like quicksand. So the question was asked, what are we seeing with what the Fed and the government are doing here? It is a desperate move on their part to try and slow the collapse of the economy in hopes that somehow they can turn it around. Now, there's no way they can get rid of the fraudulent adjustable loans that they had, the subprime, unless they lower the interest rate to where they can refinance them with low fixed rate. And that's what they are attempting to do. So that's why we had the three-quarter drop in the Fed funds and then another half interest drop. And I fully expect them to drop it another full percent, probably by two or three increments, because the only way that they can get rid of those loans is to refinance them. Now, that is not going to solve the problem. It's going to relieve it a bit, just like a gambler who needs money because he wants to make another bet, maxes out a credit card so he can make the bet. So likewise, this is what they're trying to do with the housing situation. It is going to increase inflation dramatically, and as we discussed before services began, if you want to know the value of the dollar, look at the price of gold. That tells you the value of the dollar. Now, here's a very interesting here's a report here, a very interesting thing, which we discussed and we talked about. Remember, I brought up about the 20,000 homes in the Phoenix area that are empty and their illegals are moving into them and gangs are moving into them and things like this. And so with all of the foreclosures, and a lot of the foreclosures are the jingle mail, as we talked about, they send the keys and they walk off. Now, just to give you an example of how bad it is in the little city of Hollister, and there are only 50,000 people in all of the county, there are 200 empty homes in Hollister. Now, where do these people go? Well, in Southern California near Ontario, there is a place where they go. Here's a report online, Debbie Kidd, K-I-D-D, D-E-V-V-Y, K-I-D-D, so you can go online and get it. And it's talking about economic stimulus package, macabre waltz into the abyss. And what she did was this. She said, after saying that all of the candidates really know nothing about the economy, with perhaps the exception of Romney, but he's not accepted because I don't think he belongs to the CFR, so he's not a real insider. He's a near insider because he's made a lot of money, but he's not a real insider in that he's accepted by the elite establishment. The only politician who knows what's really going on is Ron Paul, but he is consigned to the Kooksville. But you wait and see. All of his Kooksville stuff is probably going to happen sooner than later. So this DV, heard about a place where those who lost their homes are now living. And it is a tent city, which is what happened at the beginning of the last Great Depression. Isn't that correct? Yes. So January 23rd, 2008, she says, I went in search of a tent city located in Ontario, California, about a 45-minute drive, depending on traffic, east of L.A. While I had an approximate idea of the location, the west end of the Ontario airport, so that's a nice quiet place to live, I knew I would have to do a little bit of searching. It didn't take long. The stench of human waste and garbage was so overpowering, I picked it up a half mile away. And in this report, you will see pictures of the tent city. Now, what's going to follow up when you have poor sanitary conditions? Disease. This tent city is shocking to see up close. It is reminiscent of the photos from the artificially engineered Great Depression, only in living color. The city is doing their best to help these folks, but that cost gets passed on to the productive who live in Ontario and to the county itself in higher taxes. So it shows three pictures of it here. One young man I interviewed asked me not to take his photo because he's looking for work. While the majority of Americans living in this tent city are simply those left with no place to go for various reasons, this 30-ish educated American lost his home through foreclosure several months ago. As he sat stroking his cat, a sad story emerged. Caught up in the hype about the glorious state of the economy, he and his wife bought a house with an ARM, that is adjustable rate mortgage, in a high-ticket market. And you see, let me just say here, how do you know if you are addicted to debt? Well, number one is, how much debt do you have? Number two is this. This is how you get in to being addicted to debt. When you buy a high-ticket item, you never look at the total amount of the debt. You only look at the monthly payment. And that's where the Achilles heel is. Almost everyone who gets themselves in a jam like this only looked at the low teaser payment and said, well, we can afford that. You know, husband works, wife works, maybe you have a mother-in-law or father-in-law living with you and contributing $500 or $600 a month, and so you look at the payment and you look at the house and you see how easy it is to get and how quickly you were approved to get the loan for $700,000. And some of them went up to $1 million where all they did was pay 1.75% interest rate for the first 2 years. Pay nothing on the principal. See? And so the bankers are involved in greed, the people are involved in greed, and they don't know how to manage their money. So you see, when you only look at the payment and you do not look at the total amount of debt, then you are hooked as an addict on debt. Another way you can tell that you're hooked as an addict on debt is if you have a lot of credit cards and you're only making the minimum payment. That's how you know. Now, on one of my trips, I charged on a credit card for the meeting and the meal and everything, paid for the hall rent, paid for the meeting, 60 people. It was $1,500. I looked at the minimum payment. See, I pay them off every month, but I looked at the minimum payment. Guess how much that minimum payment was? guess it was 20, it was $22. And I thought to myself, in order to pay off $1,500 at $22 plus or minus a month would take you 30 years.
Yeah.
And if you miss a payment, then your interest rate can go up and you have to read the fine print very carefully. Trust me, whenever you get anything from a bank, have a magnifying glass. So you can read the fine print. And so if you have 3, 4, 5, 6 credit cards and you're getting close to maxing them out and your economic situation is that you're only making the minimum payment, you are due for a very rough adjustment, just like this family was here. And when it came time to face the reality of a bigger payment, credit card debt to the max, and with little savings, the first loss was the home. Then the marriage due to stress. Then his job because of poor performance. Debbie continues on, if you think this tent city is just a bunch of bums, not true. The city has stepped in without houses and getting children transported to schools. The adults milling around were dressed middle class. Some cooking over open fires, others in groups talking. I asked one lady who came near the curb to dump some water if she wouldn't mind speaking with me. She said yes, but was defensive because a lot of media have been around and apparently some of the coverage has been less than kind. A single mother with two children. Another trap, you see. Whenever you have single mothers with children, they are always married. Now, what do I mean by that? Their husband is the state. They're married whether they like it or not. So rather than work out problems in a marriage or marry because you're pregnant so that you can provide for the coming children, they opt to be single moms. So now they have to work, and now they have to beg the government. So in reality, they're really married. Of course, they don't think of that, you see. But what is government called? Big Brother, right? So you're married to Big Brother. Husband skipped out, so there's no help there. Evicted because she couldn't pay her rent with taxes eating up both of their paychecks. Mr. Bush's idea of the American dream, ? Multiply low-paying jobs with our good jobs being destroyed through trade treaties signed by him and his father and Bill Clinton and others. The conversation moved into the high cost of everything in despair, and it's only going to go up. You're going to see food costs go up as much as double in the very near future. Wheat doubled in cost per bushel in 1 year. It's up to about $10 a bushel. Soybeans doubled from 5 to 13, a little more than double. Everything else is going to follow. This affects feeding cattle, feeding chickens, feeding, you know, making bread. So we will see. If you want a decent loaf of bread nowadays, you're going to be looking at pretty close to $5 a loaf. If you want the cheap old goo, you're probably going to be looking at, you know, $2.50 a loaf for Wonder bread, which does wondrous things to destroy the body, you know. See. So what you need to do is really take a serious read of Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus at 26. See. Now look at this tent city. Multiply it thousands of times over if things really crash. Add to it those who are living in the northern climes, and where will they go? They will move to the warmer climes, correct? Yes. You're going to have high food costs. You're going to have who knows what gas will go to, if there's any available. So we might as well all think about, you know, maybe a small motorcycle that gets 100 miles to the gallon, or a bicycle. See, because as the Chinese standard of living goes up and they abandon their bicycles, we are going to be adopting their bicycles. See? No, it's true. It's going to happen. And things are going to get so bad, and with Mexico improving, many of the Mexicans are going to go back to Mexico where they can find some food and maybe work. So, that's something. The conversation moved to the high cost of everything and despair. This is a land rich in human and natural resources. I left this tent city knowing it's not going to be the last one on the American landscape. So here's what some people are doing. Are Americans going to burn their homes to the ground to collect insurance instead of facing foreclosure? Others are just walking away from their homes when that happens. The local economy, when foreclosures in one county, Lee, Florida, numbered 1,441 in December and 7,324 for the year. Now, what does this do? What does this do to the state economy? Let's look at the Florida government budget. With high real estate taxes, the state of Florida is not going to have money to help these people, correct? Where are they going to go? Well, some of them are going to go back into the homes that they left and be squatters. They have no place else to go. And since it's legal to have arms, some of them are going to be armed and drive everybody off who tries to come and repossess the house. But who's going to come and try and repossess the house, and how are they going to pay for that? So we enter into a greater thing of lawlessness. In the meantime, because now there are more and more people to feed in the world, I don't recall if I mentioned it last week, maybe I did, but forgive me if I repeat myself because it's very profound. In Davo, Switzerland, now if you want to know what they're talking about, international finances and so forth, go look up the Davo Economic Conference. You had all the big rich people of the world there discussing the economy of the world. And the head of PepsiCo, which sells Pepsi and a lot of snack foods and everything, she was talking about the commodities and the price of food and so forth, and she said the two emerging markets of China and India, which compose 40% of the world's population, as they have prosperity coming up from the poverty level, they're changing their eating habits. Because when they were at the poverty level, the low end of the poverty level, they only ate one meal a day. She says now they're eating two meals a day. In other words, they're going to take twice the food to take care of those people. Now, what's going to happen when they make enough to eat three meals a day? That means Americans will be eating two meals a day, and some will be eating one meal a day. See? So, that's something. 7,324 foreclosed homes in that. When you add the fiscal time bomb Jeb Bush built and lit before he left office, now ready to go off, the citizens of Florida face a frightful future. According to one real estate tracking service, the number of U.S. homes that slipped into the same stage of foreclosures in 2007 was a stunning 79% higher than the previous year. So, I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but for all of those of you who have wished the hastening of the day of the Lord, please realize there's a lot of suffering that's going to take place before that. Now, what's going to happen to bail this out? Well, you'll just have to wait and see. The Fed can create money by fiat. That's why it's called fiat money. All they have to do is say, well, guess what? We can create so many trillions of dollars just by entering it into our computer. So we'll have to see what happens there. So all of this brings us to just some thoughts on the coming election. Never has there been a time in the history of the U.S. where the economy has been on the brink of total disaster such it is as it is now, and if they pull it back and rescue it, it'll be for a while. And never in the history of the United States have we had so many different ones running for office who do not know what they are doing. So whether you look at the Democrats, or whether you look at the Republicans, or whether you look at the independents, what you have to understand is this. All governments of men will fail. They always have. Now, why do you suppose they all fail? Even David failed in the end because of what he did with Bathsheba. Solomon's failed because he was the greatest Laodicean in the history of the world. And also publicly the greatest apostate away from God because of his wives and because of his, how shall I say, it beyond adultery to describe his life. Okay. But why do all governments fail? Now, they all intend to do good, don't they? They all think they have the answer, don't they? And they all make arguments which sound plausible, don't they? Some of them have more substance to it than others. I mean, you look at Barack Obama. What we need is change. From what to what? Well, what he's failing to tell you is that I will just be cynical and say that's all you're going to get for your dollar is some change. And in foreign affairs, it said that he's less than naive.
Yeah.
Now, he may be whatever he is, and so you look at the next one. Oh, Hillary. Ooh-ooh. She says, well, we had to have a Clinton clean up after a Bush before, so we need another Clinton to clean up after this Bush. Ho-ho. So then you look at all of the Republican ones, and you just shake your head. But why do all governments fail? The reason they all fail goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. Whenever you reject God, you accept Satan. And he will deceive you. Now, let's go to the book of Luke here, Luke the 4th chapter. And let's see the state of the nations at the time of Jesus, which hasn't changed since then. Let's look at the state of governments at the time of Jesus. And what Satan offered him. And it makes you wonder, are not some of these things offered behind the scene to some of these candidates? See. Because if anyone thinks that their vote is going to count in this election, just forget it. They've already decided who they're going to have to hang the depression on. And if you can't figure that out, just keep watching. And if you still can't figure it out, wait until the votes are counted next year. All right? Now, verse 4, let's pick it up here in verse 4, because this tells us what we should do as individuals and also as nations, because a comment was made that the nations have rejected God. Well, now the United States probably was closer to the things contained in the Bible than any other nation when it first began. But they never could, because of human nature, bring in the real things they needed to bring in of God, because, you see, rulership must come from God. That's why the kingdom of God is coming. Because all nations are going to fail. All governments are going to fail. And human beings cannot govern themselves. That's what Adam and Eve thought. That's what Satan told them. You can do it. You can decide for yourself. So Jesus said here, when Satan was tempting him to command the stones to become bread, he answered him saying, verse 4 of Luke 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now notice, whenever it says that it is written, it does not say it has been written. It is written present tense. Why is that so? Because the Word of God is living, and so if it is written, it is like a living law that carries down through all time. See? But by every word of God. Now, if you think Ron Paul is having a hard time getting votes, try running for office on that platform and see what you come up with. Then the devil led him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and the devil said to him, I will give you all this authority and the glory of them all, for it has been delivered to me. See, whenever men go against God and decide to go their way, the rulership changes from God to Satan. Men have delivered it into the hands of Satan the devil. So you can say government and banking and religion, the three main things of human existence, right? Yes. Have all been delivered into the hands of Satan. Now, if you want to succeed, and if you want to be wealthy in this world, whether you realize it or not, here's what you need to do. Therefore, if you will worship me in my presence, all things shall be yours. Now that means to worship him as God. So, when you see things like this big conference in Davos, Switzerland, so if you're online, go online, they have so many workshops about world economy and what they plan to do and so forth, just realize it's all in the hands of Satan the devil. And God uses Satan the devil to punish the world and to punish his people, based upon whether they obey God to a certain extent or whether they don't, and you can read that in Jeremiah 18. We've covered that before. See? So, what we are dealing with here is verse 3 and 4, personal existence, have to live by every word of God. National and country existence follows along the same thing, but they don't. And then you have the religions worship him, and so that's why all governments fail. That's why going out to vote isn't going to change a thing. That's why when someone gets in there who looks like, you know, they're really going to do something right, it never happens. Because it doesn't matter who you are, what government you are in, if you are elected, when you get there, all of the ministers of the government come and say, that is the cabinet members, the bureaucrats, they come and tell you the real truth of what is going on, and you better not upset this, otherwise you'll probably be shot. See, Kennedy tried to do that. He tried to get rid of the Federal Reserve by authorizing Congress to print, which is authorized in the Constitution, the money that was backed by the government and not the Federal Reserve. And as soon as he died, poof, all of those federal, the true federal government money was swooped up and destroyed. So you see, that's why you can never figure it out. Well, who shot him? Was there one? Was there two? Was there three? Why so much confusion? Who's the author of confusion? Satan the devil. All right? Let's come back here to Revelation 12, and we'll finish here as to why the governments of this world will fail and are failing and will never succeed, and they all have to be replaced with the kingdom of God, and that's why God has called you and me and all of those in his church. And that's why it's important that the people of God pay attention and understand they've been called to eternal life and rulership and great responsibility. We're not here just to make our lives better and be more successful, which we need to make our lives better, but we need to make them better before God. We need to be successful spiritually, because that's where it is all at. Now, with the coming war that's going to take place in heaven, and we can speculate on that in different ways, but I'm not going to at this point, because that's not the point of what I'm covering. Michael and his angels, verse 7 now, Michael and his angels warred against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels warred. But they did not prevail, because neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. And the way he deceives people is he brings things that sound so blessedly true. And sound logical and reasonable. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. So that's why all governments are going to fail. They are not of God. Now, if you want to vote, that's your choice to vote. But you look and see and understand, none of these men are going to be able to do anything to change anything. Because that's the whole purpose of the book of Daniel, especially Daniel, the fourth chapter, that God sets up over the nations the basest of men, and he sets up over them the leaders that this country deserves. So if you look at the ones running for president today, and you can't find anyone that is worthwhile, just answer the question by saying this. This is what God says we deserve. Question was asked, we need some things with hope. That is true. But in order to understand the great hope that we have, let me suggest that you go back and review the sermons, Be Strong in the Lord, Answer to Unanswered, Keys to Answered Prayer, and realize this, your personal relationship with God is the key to hope. And also remember this, those who have to live through terrible times like Ezekiel had to and Jeremiah had to, they have to understand what is going on so that they will not be completely overwhelmed by the events that take place. Because being forewarned is forearmed, and if you're forearmed mentally and spiritually, then you are not going to be depressed and you are not going to find yourself falling by the wayside. So I'll bring another sermon on how can a man or woman please God. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.